You're listening to the CallToCome.org podcast, reaching the nations to help the bride of Jesus get ready. Now let's listen to today's message with our hosts, Call to Come.
To the dearly beloved of the Lord, the bride of Christ, set apart and being prepared for Jesus, Yeshua, your bridegroom king. I want to share with you this morning some of the things that God has been saying to me about the precious bride of Christ. And, you know, I so love the parables the Holy Spirit reveals between our human institution of marriage and that of the heavenly eternal one, between our Lord Jesus Christ, that is, and his precious bride, which will take one place one time in the future, which is called the wedding of the Lamb. And so it should be that there are parallels, because one is meant to be a reflection of the other. And even the very words that are used in the marriage ceremony are there to reveal a deeper truth and a higher revelation for us. I don't know whether it is the same in your country and your culture, but in ours, in England, it's the father that gives the bride away and hands her over to her husband for his safekeeping and protection. This is reflected and emphasized by the question written in the official wedding ceremony, where the question is, "Who gives this woman away?" And the father responds, "I do." So it is in the spiritual realm, in the sense that it is the Father God to whom the bride belongs first, before she is then given away to Jesus the Son. Jesus said to his disciples in John 17, verse 6, and he said it as a prayer in front of them, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed. I have revealed your name to those you have given me out of the world. They are yours. You gave them to me, Father, and they have kept your word." Yes, there it is. We were fathers before we were given to Jesus. We were conceived and born in the heart of the Father before time began, and then the Father drew us out of the pierced side of his Son on the cross, so that she was made of his same spiritual DNA, had his DNA, divine natural attributes. In order for us to be completely compatible with him, of his spiritual flesh, his spiritual bone, a bride formed from him and given to him by the Father. It was ever God's eternal purpose so to do. But it is one thing for the Father to form a bride for his Son, within his Son, as Eve was within Adam and drawn out, so we were in Christ before the foundation of the earth and drawn out on the cross. But it's another to give away the bride to his Son. And yet, how does he sustain and perfect her to be on that day without spot or blemish? Ephesians 5:27. To present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. He does this in two ways. One which is passive and spontaneous as far as the bride herself is concerned, for it is the work of the Holy Spirit within her, and the other for which she must take responsibility. In a Jewish wedding, the bridegroom after the betrothal must go away to prepare One, the chuppah or huppah, a canopy under which they will get married, and two, the room or bridal chamber where they will consummate the wedding. And while he is away, he sends his best man to bring gifts to her from him and messages of encouragement in case she would forget him. And likewise, Jesus, our bridegroom, sends the Holy Spirit to be with us, his best man, who reminds us of him and teaches us all things. We all know that experience of delight when he brings back to our memory something about him which we had forgotten and which causes us to wonder at his love and care for us. This is the precious work of the Holy Spirit in us, conforming us day by day to Jesus, our bridegroom's image, and causing us to reflect his beauty and become more and more compatible to him. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have told you. John 14, verse 26. Then, secondly, there is the active response on our part in which we fulfill the word in Revelation 19 where it says, "And the bride has made herself ready." Let us give him the glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Revelation 19, verse 7. Our responsibility is to ensure we are watching with our lamps lit and primed, neither sleeping or unprepared, as were the foolish virgins in Matthew 25. A question many ask us, Dr. Mike Pike and myself, after a Call to Come conference around the nations on awakening the bride is, please tell us, how can we prepare ourselves? Their love for him as his bride has been reignited at the conference, and the journey towards intimacy has begun in earnest. The desire is now, how can I please him alone and be ready for him? The cry of their heart is, "Come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha." Well, here are some suggestions. It is essentially by meditating on the Word of God and earnestly seeking more and more intimacy with him that the heart is satisfied and the preparation made. It's about breaking through into the silence and obeying his invitation to come away. Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away, Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 10. To come away to a secret place, away from the noise and preoccupation of this life, and to sit in his presence a while, to meditate upon his word. Both his word and his presence will transform us and begin to make us ready. So it is written, "By the word of thy lips I have kept myself from the path of the destroyer," Psalm 17, verse 4. "And your word have I hid in my heart, that I sin not against you," Psalm 119, verse 11. The preparation includes wearing clothes that we must put on, some of which are acts of kindness, love, mercy, acts of supernatural power and miracle, the mighty acts of the saints, Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8. It says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him the glory, because the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. She has been given the privilege of wearing fine linen, dazzling and pure." These clothes are the fine linen representing the righteous and mighty acts of the saints. Other times, it's clothes of grace and gentleness, forgiveness, humility and patience. We clothe ourselves with the fruits of the Spirit of Genesis chapter 5, of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, or the warrior armour of Ephesians 6. Dressed in these clothes, with the incense of intercession and the perfume of praise, thanksgiving and worship, we will walk in a posture of readiness and be a constant delight to our coming Bridegroom King. Maranatha.